You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776. Yeah, this is one of the lead stories today, is that Eberflus, Matt Eberflus, has declined the Texans interview. They asked him to interview and he said no. That's just another shoe falling here on this organization. And there are going to be some more. This mess that the Texans have created, that Cal has created, really, is really going to start affected. Now, it's really affected the organization because of how pissed off your quarterback is.
Yeah,
I mean, the way they went about the Caserio may be a great general manager, but the way that it started and how they went about it has really, really pissed off your cornerstone for the organization, and they're somehow, some way, going to have to make good on this.
Well, that's the thing, is you're starting. Unfortunately, you're going to start off by putting your GM in a really tough spot, because everyone's looking. Now you've made it harder for him to quote unquote fail early. Well, it's not going to be fail. It's just, this is part of the process. You're going to have to tear down part of the house to rebuild it. Huh. And you're making it harder for him now.
Well, no, absolutely. I mean, how much harder is it for Rafael Stone and Steven Silas right now?
Yeah.
I mean, well, yeah. When you're in a situation like this, and make no mistake, the Texans are getting in about the same situation that the Rockets are in. A disgruntled superstar is, you know, pissed off at the organization. And here's the thing that Caserio has to do too right away, is convince Deshaun, listen, JJ just apologized to you because the organization wasted another one of your years. I know you're only 4 years into this thing. But it was, you know what, the clock is ticking, and you've got four wasted years. There's more ahead. There are more ahead, and you're going to have to have some patience, because we ain't fixing this thing right away. This ain't the Dolphins where you've got picks,
yeah,
and you can turn this around right away. And oh, by the way,
isn't a good place like Dolphins or Raiders where we can do. Wait, what? What? Yeah. This isn't good like Dolphins or Raiders, yeah. But it's where we are right now.
That's exactly where they are.
But it's okay. It can be. Listen, I know probably some people think we get too negative about this or that. It's just, you have to be told the truth. You haven't been told the truth. A lot of people run around thinking this is a team that was close. Hey, they're going all in with Tunsil. It was not a go all in team. You go all in with Verlander. You don't go all in with Tunsil. It's not a go all in player, a position, one tackle, and it wasn't a go all in team. You weren't as close as you thought you were. You had to understand your roster and be realistic about your strengths. The game against Buffalo, that was a bad game. Deshaun made one play, which, by the way, his own. They're just showing it. Oh, you know what I was told? 34. What was 34's name? The wide receiver, the running back that was in the game? Was it Buddy Howe?
Tyler, right? Irvin. Oh, no.
No, I think it was Buddy Howe.
No, Buddy Howe's 38.
Okay, whoever 34 was in the game, remember, it's like, wow, I can't believe they had him in the game.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I was told?
He wasn't supposed to be in the game. No.
He wasn't supposed to be in the game. Bill O'Brien called something and didn't know. He's like, what the f*** he doing in the game? Called for a package, dummy.
Yeah.
And the guy ended up making a big play. Bill accidentally had the right guy.
No, right.
But Deshaun made a play in a missed read. Quincy Avery told us he missed the read. Deshaun screwed that up, but still made a play.
Biggest play of the season.
You take that out, and that's a huge disappointing loss. But then people kind of bury it like, Deshaun's amazing. We beat the Bills. The Bills, actually, that was a foreshadowing of what the Bills were going to be. And what you were going to – that was actually a foreshadowing.
Yeah. They beat you for three quarters. And now they're
– dominated you.
They're dominating a lot. We'll find out if they're going to dominate. when I run out of gas, I'm going to trade my car for more gas.
That would be moving the Deshaun trade. The Dolphins.
Hashtag Deshaun trade to the Dolphins.
You can't move the Dolphins just on principle alone.
No. We're not trading Deshaun to the Dolphins.
Especially
though.
If Bill – wait a minute. What if Bill O'Brien is there, forced Deshaun? Say, Deshaun, we're going to trade you to Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, how's that?
Okay, so you need to get in here and let's keep it quiet. That's how you fight back against the show. Yeah. Oh, but, you want to go to Bill O'Brien again?
But he's got a no trade. He can veto that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Never mind.
He can veto that one. If the guy with the no trade clause wants to be traded, great. He can pick wherever he wants. Great.
And they gave him a no trade clause.
Yeah.
Not only did they give him a 3-year deal, they gave him a 3-year deal, basically a max amount of money and a no trade clause. I mean, you want to talk about doing nothing for the team at all.
Yeah. Well, and here's a tweet.
And that's though. The team.
Your
that
dream
came
could
that.
Come true. You guys hire the Dolphins hire Bill O'Brien, and he goes to the podium to make the picks that he gave the Dolphins.
That's the only reason I would want him around.
I'm not.
Maybe he just to if the Dolphins have any bit of entertainment, if they think of entertainment at all, and if the draft is something like
normal. If
they
want to amuse you.
Yeah, if they love entertainment and the draft is normal this year where it's actual not a non-virtual draft, send Bill O'Brien up. Or at least let him be the guy who gives the jerseys to the first round pick. Like, because Roger Goodell is going to make the selection, but if Bill O'Brien's up there holding the big Dolphin jersey and he hands it to Devontae Smith, I would be all for it. And then fire him afterwards.
Yeah, but he could do the second round pick.
Fire him
afterwards.
I don't
actually want him calling plays. Yeah. I just want him to be a part of the organization for that moment.
No, remember when he was pretty good doing that when he had Tom Brady?
Oh, okay.
He wasn't great doing it because they didn't win.
No, I just need that moment to be fulfilled.
That's what you want.
Because Bill, you know how much fun as this season was going on, because the Dolphin fans in general didn't particularly care so much about the playoffs. It would have been nice, but it was a rebuilding year, and they got surprised by the record. What they really enjoyed was watching Houston play, and then going, oh, the two Colts games were probably the best moments of the Dolphin season.
The best moments.
The bobble, the bat snap, and then QQQT fumbling. It almost guaranteed a top five pick at that point, and then when it became the third pick, it was like, it's good stuff.
Thanks.
It's real good stuff.
That was a great season.
Those
were the best moment, the best Dolphin moments of the year.
Tua beating the Cardinals was pretty good too, but as far as entertainment with no real stress, watching the Texans blow those two games and almost guaranteeing a top five pick at the time was really good.
Hmm.
I take it over Xavier Howard's season, and he might win Defensive Player of the Year.
It's just,
like I said, can we get back to the Astros? You got your little pretty little Astros, your creamsicle pullover on and everything. I don't hate it.
Do you think
is creamsicle?
Do you think the Texans will take the Texas approach on the Dolphins draft Devontae Smith? Our pick got a Heisman winner.
The Texans will tweet out. Our pick is a Heisman Trophy winner?
Yeah, like Texas did.
Like Texas did for Sark?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I don't think that'll happen, Del, but thanks.
This is the same organization who took credit for Tremont Williams, even though they cut him in camp.
Yeah, they did.
They did. We found him first, but we cut him.
That was unbelievable that showed up in their actual information that the media staff put out. Like, we have drafted.
We find pro bowlers.
We've had all these pro bowlers. Like, hey, what's Tremont Williams doing on there? He was a camp cut from Louisiana Tech. What?
They found him, though.
Did they they just counted an undrafted free agent who they cut despite having a great camp because he wasn't bigger fast enough? And he made a ton of plays in camp, too. I remember, John, we would go to camp and broadcast, and we're like, man, this kid's making a lot of plays. Mm-hmm.
No, but he's not good enough to be on the Texans.
No.
Okay. So he went to the Super Bowl. He went and ended up winning the Super Bowl, helping them win the Super Bowl as their number one corner. But he wasn't good enough to be a Texan. That is it's the history of this.
Did you know that he's still playing? He plays for the Ravens.
Does he really?
At 37 years old.
So if you haven't seen the story yet about cheating, Garrett Cole apparently is in this lawsuit. The Angels fired their visiting clubhouse attendant. They did this... they did this last year. I don't know. I remember. I forget when it happened. When he got fired.
Wait, he wasn't the one that got the fentanyl.
No. He wasn't the fentanyl guy. They just dismissed him because he was helping opposing pitchers, with stickum, and he had a rosin and pine tar mix that apparently the pitchers really really liked, an illegal blend of rosin and pine tar, which is a violation of a rule that's never really been strictly enforced. We've seen it. How many times? Globs of goo on these pitchers' caps, and they look like Craig Biggio with all the stickum. Everything about them is all sticky and everything else. It looks like they're eating pancakes in the dugout. So this guy is suing the Angels back and saying, "Wait a minute, it wasn't only you guys are firing me because I'm using stickum. You want to see who's using stickum? My stickum? How about Justin Verlander, Edwin Jackson, Max Scherzer, Felix Hernandez, Corey Kluber, Joba Chamberlain, Adam Wainwright, Tyler Chatwood, all these guys. Plus, oh, by the way, I was giving it to Angels pitchers too. Y'all are cheating. Everybody's cheating.
Yeah.
And I've got a text from Garrett Cole that proves it. Hey, bud. Hey, what's up? I need some more of that stickum. And yet, Rob Manfred's over there.
Well, somebody asked me on...
the Astros are the worst.
KMFG asked, he said, are you sure he didn't ask for the sticky icky that maybe this guy's a weed dealer also?
No, he wasn't asking for the sticky
icky. Because it would be legal in California, but illegal in Houston.
Yeah. The termination of my employment came as a complete surprise to me since I had never received anything but compliments for my hard work and dedication.
Check out these checks I save.
To my knowledge, there are no negative reviews in my personnel file. I've never received a warning or been counseled against activity related to my employment. And so he is suing them for wrongful firing, I guess.
You can't.
Because you were pissed that I was given all of the opposing pitchers? Well, what about all the Angels pitchers I've been given? Apparently, his rosin and pine tar mixture wasn't as good for the Angels.
No.
They're not very good at it.
Apparently, you still have to be able to pitch.
Yeah. Apparently, with this rosin pine tar illegal mixture, you still have to be able to throw the ball.
Apparently, steroids, which is not the steroids, did make some pretty average hitters hit a bunch of home runs. Apparently, steroids are way more impactful than anything. Imagine that.
Mm.
Video signs, stick 'em. The most impactful thing is steroids. Still undefeated. Steroids for cheaters.
No, more so than garbage cans.
More so than anything.
Anything.
Ask Ben Johnson.
Now, that said, there were a lot of guys that did steroids that weren't very good.
I'm sure there were.
But when they did hit the ball, they hit it further.
Yes, which can keep you in the lead.
But a lot of times, like the Keith Ginters and guys like that, they didn't hit the ball often enough.
Yeah.
You know, you still have to make contact. But when you do, it jumps off your bat. So you still have to do that. And you still have to be able to spin the ball. If you've got the stickum on the ball, the proof is, you know what? Justin Verlander and Garrett Cole and Corey Kluber and the like are better because, well, they're better. They're just better. 713-780-3776 is the number. You'd like to get in here? It's Friday. Come on in. Hang out with us here on ESPN 97.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
8:14 ESPN. Shortest breaks in the world, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I mean, literally, the shortest breaks in the world. So, never go away. And actually, listen to the commercials. Yeah, because they're kind of a big deal. The headlines today... obviously, Deshaun Watson and the drama there is huge. The baseball cheating scandal. It should be the lead story here that there's more cheating going on. And yet Rob Manfred, he's like, whatever.
Because they're getting ready to do the Yankee letter.
That's not really cheating.
Well, the Yankee letter's getting ready to come out.
Yeah, is it? Is it?
The unsealing
is
supposed to be any day now, I think.
Is it?
Yeah,
that's why he's Pinocchio.
That's what he said about 6 months ago.
Yeah, I know, right. What about Lance Berkman getting a coaching position at St. Thomas?
Yeah.
Should we call Puma? What about you,
Go
Puma?
Ahead. But St. Thomas is a Catholic school.
And?
He's not Catholic.
Do you think this is the first
non-Catholic
to work there? Are you sure he's not Catholic?
No, he's not.
He's not?
Huh.
He's Baptist?
I think he's Baptist.
He's
from New Braunfels. He's going to be Baptist.
He worked at Second Baptist.
Well, there you have it.
Right.
You're supposed to coach wherever your religious affiliation.
Now. Maybe he converted now. We got to ask him.
Maybe Catholics want to hit now, too.
Yeah.
Maybe they want to learn to hit.
Well, they do want to learn to hit. Catholics, yeah. Why can't Catholics get a good hitting coach?
You know, the assistant DA in Houston, Sean Tier, was a good pitcher.
He was on Channel 13 the other night.
He's on like every night.
Oh, no, right.
Probably because of that wreck that was over by my house. But, yeah, he was a good
left-hand pitcher. It was because of that.
I'm sure it was, yeah. It was a fatality. Minor collision. A guy hit and run, hauled ass at 5-something in the morning, ran into a tree, killed himself, and broke open a freaking gas line.
Yeah.
Dumbass.
Yeah.
Now he's dead. Minor accident he decided to hit and run from. So, now he's dead. But, yeah, he was a left-hand pitcher over there with St. Thomas.
Who, the guy that died?
No.
Oh, Sean Tier. Oh. Yeah,
he went and pitched in college.
He did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, he looks like an athlete. Oh, and now he just puts people away.
And lifts.
And he lifts?
Yeah.
Is he?
He's jacked.
Is he? I don't know. He's always wearing a suit. You can't
tell.
And
his daughter is the one who does picks, money line picks baseball.
No, she's good.
Mimi's the one who...
Does she have any picks for this weekend?
I need to find out if she's doing football. She does baseball picks. So it's not baseball season.
I know.
Actually, right? She does football. Her dad owes her, like, although she had a really bad month one time where she lost, like, all of her clients. Listen, you can play this game like it's already been played. I've got sources in fourth grade telling me.
Fred said that, and it didn't go well for him, okay? So we're not doing that anymore. Tell her to stop saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah, does she have a troll that will call in and make sure that she knows how wrong she was and just ask for an apology when she doesn't give him the apology?
Right.
Or calls him a D-weed or something? What's her go-to when someone gets in her kitchen? Does she go D-weed or dill hole? Or what does she do?
Whoa.
I said dill.
She shouldn't.
I don't know. If she's going to be Fred, she's got to have something to get after people for when they question his knowledge.
Absolutely. Knowledge. I'm getting Puma on. 8:30? That good? Puma's going to come on. We'll talk to the Puma about his new job and about this. There's some cheating going on in baseball. We'll find out about this and see if the, you know what? The Astros are obviously implicated here with Justin Verlander and Garrett Cole. So 8:30, Puma's going to join us in about 12 minutes. So don't you go anywhere right here on ESPN 97.5. In the meantime, I got to ask you, okay, so we really haven't broken down all of the games. We asked Field Yates how big a deal is it. I have the least confidence of any team. The least confidence of any team this weekend is the Browns losing their play caller. We saw what happened to Clemson when they lost their play caller.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
You lose your head coach and your play caller, which has been vital to Baker's production and development.
Recovery. That and Odell Beckham being out for the year.
Yeah, but he's been out and they've played well.
That's what I'm saying. Have you noticed that Odell Beckham being out has helped?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Oh, don't get it twisted. Odell Beckham is – there's not as much –
right.
Tightness from Baker now that Odell Beckham's not in his ear the whole time. But, yeah, you lose your play caller. It's hard enough losing your head coach. Do you know how often – have you seen how often teams – and this goes back to college too – but how often teams who have play callers who have head coaches who are play callers are out, how often they got their asses kicked, they weren't really competitive? I tracked it because I may have been on the wrong side of one or two of those.
Mm-hmm.
If your coach is out, it's hard to win. It's hard to win if a coach is out. If the coach also happens to be your offensive guy, you can zoom all you want, but then it's like there's a void in leadership that's there.
Well, not only that.
I think they're going to get.
It's adjustments that he would see.
They're going to get demolished. I know the Steelers aren't even playing good right now, but I think that defense is going to wear Baker out.
Well, don't forget they came back and almost tied the game in Cleveland when Cleveland had to win. With Mason Rudolph Mason Rudolph almost brought him back to win that game. And now Ben's coming back. No, they're not playing great football. But without Kevin Stefanski, without their play caller, I think that's disastrous. Just disastrous. The game that is least the toughest game to pick for me is the Ravens and Titans. You can certainly see that going either way.
I think that's really hard.
Yeah.
I think that's really hard because both teams are running the football really well. We saw what happened last year, so you have to get that out of your head. The Ravens play a little different style of offense. It's not the same Lamar Jackson, so they're using them in a different way. The Ravens defense the Titans defense is not the same as it was last year because their secondary is struggling. But can Lamar Jackson take advantage of that secondary? It's a really hard game to call.
Yeah.
It really is because I can talk myself on either side. If I played the Ravens, this from a pick standpoint, if I took the Ravens and I laid the points and the game gets off 10-0 Tennessee, I'd go, what an idiot. I knew, why would I do this when they're at home, they're a dog,
they beat them last year,
they run the ball, Derrick Henry just ran for 2,000 yards. What am I thinking? And then if I play Tennessee and like, you know, of course, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens are due. They're running the ball well. But really, the one that would really kill me is if I go, I could feel better about taking the points at home with the Titans. Because you know what? They beat them last year. I'm getting points at home. Even if I got the wrong side, at least I'm playing a smart play.
Let's face it. The Ravens haven't beaten, they beat Cleveland. But other than that, they haven't beaten anybody over these last 5 weeks. Nobody. I mean, the rest of the teams that they've beaten have all been Lambs. So... I'm leaning Tennessee in that one. I think that the Bucs in Washington is going to be a good football game for a while. I think Tom Brady hates this kind of front four, this kind of front. So I think that's going to be a good game for a while. I like the under in that game. I like the under in Tampa and Washington better than anything. And the Colts and Bills that's a 7-point game.
Well, you know, I'm cheering for my buddy to win that one, but the fact is, I also think that's a really bad game for the Colts. Yeah. I think the Bills are a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
What if it's windy?
Yeah,
talk about okay,
everything
possibly
is then,
the weakest arm against the strongest arm in football.
Well, then everything would be like literally everything would be on the shoulders of the offensive line and Taylor. Everything. Because Phillip Rivers just can't. Everything would have to be a dink and dunk throw, and you can just press up and cover that real tight.
Yeah,
check the weather.
This is a matchup of the strongest arm against the weakest arm in football, and in a windy, cold on a windy, cold day, big advantage Bills, big advantage. And did you see? They've been partying there. Did you see their practice? Have you seen video of their practice where they're all dancing and they look loose, man?
Are they playing in the
Bills look loose?
Are they going to play in the dome? In Buffalo?
They're not playing in the dome.
Oh, and wait, there's not one.
There's not one. No.
So here's what it looks like. Is that game Sunday or Saturday?
That game is Saturday.
Oh, the wind, it's going to be a high of 36, low of 26. Wind 7 miles an hour. It's not too bad.
That's not bad. Yeah. No.
It's, you know, cold.
Yeah, but even still.
January in Buffalo.
Big Philly ain't going to like that. Not coming from all those years in San Diego and now in a dome in Indy. Big Philly went to Baltimore, right? Didn't they go to Baltimore and win a couple of years ago? 3 years ago? Yeah.
Yeah.
They went to Baltimore and won. See, that's another thing about
they won
that.
Handily, I think.
That's another thing about that Ravens game is now it's not a monkey on Lamar's back anymore. It's a gorilla. Mm-hmm. If he loses this game, the entire, everything that's going to be talked about is the entire narrative is about how he can't win that big game.
You got to break the narrative.
You do.
You got to break the narrative. Deshaun has some narratives he has to bust, but not like...
No.
Lamar's on a different level. Deshaun has to get to Lamar's level, which is like an MVP. And although, if you really think about it, you know, Deshaun is the only player in NFL history to throw for 100 touchdowns and 67% completion percentage in his first 4 years, and that includes a year where he played 6 games. He's the only quarterback in history to complete 67 passes and go for 100 yards passing. 67%. I mean, 67%. Yeah, not passes. 67% and 100 touchdown passes in his first 4 years. The only quarterback. Now,
No, it's a different.
Yeah, yeah. That's what you have to take into account. Marino had like 102 years, but it was a lot more vertical. Your completion percentage
was low.
60 was really good back then.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get La Raza. ¿Qué pasó, mijo?
What's up, Johnny G, Lance, Davosito? Good morning, gentlemen.
What's how you doing, brother? Gentlemen, good morning.
Hey, I had to kind of follow the money kind of theory, but I wanted to ask you, who's a bigger puppet, the NFL or Cal McNair? Because I feel like State Farm, you know, is kind of like the backdrop of the, you know, like the man behind the curtain. You got, you know, Pat Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, two State Farm guys, you know, and then they're both number one seeds. Both get buys, and then they're playing in Tampa. Which what's the color of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Red. And what's the color of State Farm? Red. So follow the money. You know what I'm saying? So
we may not have our friend Raheel here right now, but somebody is following the money still.
Well, so okay, Puma's going to join us at in 3 minutes here on ESPN 97.5. But after that, I want to talk about what teams you have the most confidence. Obviously, the Chiefs would be number one, right? The most confidence in.
Yeah.
To
win a Super Bowl?
To win the Super Bowl. Who would be second?
Buffalo, then Green Bay.
Okay. And then the Saints?
I don't feel it with the Saints right now.
Yeah.
I've got Buffalo over the Saints in a prediction for midseason prediction.
We got Lance coming up in next,
yeah, I'm
gonna, right
yeah,
here.
I'm gonna stay right here.
I got Lance coming up right now. Okay. Lance Loken. That's who. Oh, what?
Who's the next segment going to be with?
Dabbed.
Oh, did you just dab on Lance Loken?
I dabbed on all the Lances. Okay? Because what a transition. You find a perfect home, Elma and Amato. 2 days. They found the perfect home. Well, what about this home? We got to sell it. 2 days, 11 showings, $8,000 over list price. Now they can enjoy their new home. Well, how about this? Even if it takes a little bit longer, that's okay, because Lance Loken has a buy before you sell program. If you want to move on your terms, the buy before you sell program makes it possible for you to move when you're ready and take the time you need to sell your current home for the best possible price. But here's the deal about Lance Loken and his group. Their average days on the market is just 15. The average days on market is 51 for the average agent. You know what the rest of them are? All average. Do you want average agent? No. You want superior agent. And that is Lance Loken and the Loken Group. Within Keller Williams, the Loken Group ranks number one in Texas and number two in the world in volume and homes sold. They sell a home every like 10 minutes or something. I don't know what the number is, but all I know is it's way more than everybody else. And they'll make you an immediate cash offer in case you just want to just not have all the rigmarole of selling your house, and that's awesome. So if you need a realtor, if you need an agent, the only one to call is the Loken Group. 281-861-4624. 281-861-4624 or the Loken, L-O-K-E-N, thelokengroup.com.
Years of research and innovation. Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance Adele, and being joined right now by the big Puma, Lance Berkman, new coach at St. Thomas High School. Puma, what's going on?
Oh, I'm doing good, except for it's St. Thomas University, not the high school.
Oh,
I know that could be confusing.
Oh, my gosh, that is St. Thomas. I'm sorry, University of St. Thomas. My
yeah.
Good. Well, you're a big college coach now.
You know it.
So what's your title?
Well, just basically assistant coach. I'm really going to help them out with the hitters and, you know, of course, I'll be available to do anything they need defensively from the outfield or first base standpoint, but I'm really just going to help them where they need help. And right now their hitting guy actually took a job with the Astros, I believe. And so they were kind of left shorthanded, and I've known Clay from the past. He had called me a couple times about some guys that we had at Second Baptist. And so he said, hey, man, you know, we're shorthanded. If you want to help, come on. So that's kind of how it got. That's kind of how it happened.
Are you going to help because you're so well-rounded? Are you going to help with base running stuff? And you mentioned outfield.
Pitching?
Well, I know from an outfield standpoint, we've seen what you've done on a hill. You've played a variety of positions. You've been a great base runner.
Do they have a hill?
Yeah, do they have a hill there?
No, they don't. They don't even have a field. So that can be an impediment to play. But as you've seen with a lot of the, you know, the things that are happening in the major leagues, having played is not a prerequisite for coaching, and having done anything well in the game is not a prerequisite for coaching. So, you know, you don't that's not.
But does your base running acumen give you a leg up to teach base running?
Right, like you don't ever have to have even been on the bases to coach at the big league level. So, so why would that matter at the college level?
Right, Tony La Russa is a Hall of Famer. Never picked up a ball or something.
No, he did play in the minor league.
Yeah, he played in the minors.
Very good. Yeah.
Yeah, he was in the minors, but that whatevs, whatever. No, but you I mean, you could help. What do you mean they don't have a field?
They don't have a field. That's exactly what I mean. Where the university is
Montrose.
Is right there. Yeah, Montrose, and so they're kind of landlocked, and they wanted to become an NCAA university, so they had to add a couple of athletic programs, and of course baseball is one of those. But there is a plan for them to share a field with St. Thomas High School. St. Thomas High School bought some property that's adjacent to their school, and they're going to construct a baseball field that will be jointly used by the university and by the high school. But that project is still a couple of years away from being completed. So in the interim, they're playing their home games at HBU and Northland Christian, and they had a few scheduled at Constellation Field before they became affiliated with the Astros, and that kind of got shut down because they're putting a new playing surface in over there. So that's sort of the, you know, they don't have a home field now, but they will in a couple of years. So.
Well, good. And you're going to, it'll be called, it could quite possibly be the field that Lance built for him. Okay. You're going to turn.
Yeah. I don't know about that. But,
well, right. But
yeah.
But, well, congratulations, man. You happy about you getting back in there?
Oh yeah. Like I've, you know, coaching is what I love to do. And I've wanted to coach at the college level for a while. And so this is a great opportunity to kind of, you know, to cut my teeth, so to speak, collegiately, and be able to help some of these kids and help the coaching staff. And it's just, you know, I'm got plenty of free time, and so it worked out to, you know, I think it's going to be really good all the way around.
You're going to do any, what are you going to do with the Astros this year?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with Major League Baseball in terms of, you know, I don't think they know if they're starting on time. I haven't heard anything. I just don't know what's going on as far as that goes.
Oh, so but you were doing games every once in a while. Didn't you have a plan? Wasn't there a plan for you to be doing more of that, or at least doing it again?
Yes, there was some talk of that before COVID shut everything down. And of course, last year was a completely abnormal season. It was crazy. And with no fans, I mean, if they don't allow fans to come to the ballpark, you know, the owners are going to kind of be in a pickle again as far as meeting payroll. And as far as I know, most of the professional organizations are, you know, there's a hiring freeze just because they don't know what's going to happen with the season this year. So, and the guys that I've talked to that are still playing, they tell me that they're still not sure what. Are they going to report to spring training on time? Is it going to get pushed back? I mean, you hear all kind of different things.
Yeah. Lance Berkman with us here on ESPN 97.5, new coach at St. Thomas University, or University of St. Thomas, with us here on ESPN 97.5. Did you see this story about the Angels staffer, the clubhouse, the visiting clubhouse manager, Bubba Harkins? He was fired because apparently he was giving illegal substances. He made a rosin and pine tar concoction that he was given to pitchers, and especially opposing pitchers, he was given it to. He says Justin Verlander. He says Garrett Cole, Max Scherzer, Felix Hernandez, Corey Kluber, Adam Wainwright, plus a bunch of Angels pitchers. He was giving it to them. And can you believe that pitchers might be cheating in Major League Baseball, Lance?
Yeah, what has this come to, the world has come to, when there are rumors that pitchers may have cheated?
Yeah, it's not a rumor. I mean, that happens all the time.
Oh.
Pretty much every single one of those guys does stuff. So, and some guys do it, for obviously to keep a better grip on the ball, for control, to increase spin rate and all that. I mean, I've talked to a couple guys that are like, "Oh, I can't put anything on there because I have no idea where the ball's going when it's that tacky." But I mean, I played with a guy that had somebody cook a sauce up, and it was so sticky that I touched his forearm, and then with a flat palm, touched the ball that was sitting on the table and picked it right straight up off the table with the flat. So, I mean, it's that kind of thing has been going on for years.
So how much does that bother you as a hitter?
None.
Did it bother you?
Heavens no. I don't care. They still got to throw it over the 17 inches. I mean, and if they do, I feel like I got a pretty good chance to hit it. And so, and if you, most pitchers that you talk to don't consider that cheating, because their argument is, well, you guys get to use pine tar and you guys get to use the Moda stick to have a better grip on the bat. All we're doing is using this to increase our grip on the ball. So, I mean, I guess you could, you can definitely make that argument. But my only deal is, which obviously it does increase their spin rate on their breaking balls and makes their breaking balls sharper. I mean, I think that's probably a little bit of an unfair advantage, but that's the thing. Everybody nowadays wants to make a huge deal about everything, and this is something that has been going on in Major League Baseball since the inception of horsehide baseballs. I mean, they've got people putting substances on balls, all the, from Gaylord Perry throwing a spitball, it happens every year. Most guys do something like that. Sunscreen. I mean, there's a million things that they've used. So it's not a big deal. I mean, it really isn't. And all this scandal and trying to name all these high profile guys, who cares? I mean, just let the players figure it out and we'll go from there.
Well, but banging a trash can, Lance, is the worst. It's right. I'm pretty sure it's one of the Ten Commandments. No, it's the 11th Commandment. Thou shalt not bang a trash can, because if you do that, you're the worst human being in the world.
Right. I mean, that didn't quite make the cut. It didn't make the top 10, but I think you're right. It's just outside at number 11 or 12.
Right.
But, yeah. So, I mean, it's just, again, in these times of hyper-focused media attention on everything and everything anybody says and does, it's just, there's going to be a whole segment of the population that's outraged no matter what. So all you can do is keep your head down and keep going.
Is steroids still, in our minds, and, I've heard the argument, I mean, was it Doug Glanville made an unbelievable argument and wrote about this, that steroids were way worse than trash can banging. In your mind, the biggest advantage that anybody's gotten cheating?
Oh, definitely steroids. There's no question. I mean, and I think guys are still doing stuff. I mean, I don't know what it is, but wherever you've got competition and high stakes competition with a lot of money, to be made for guys that can do it well, you're going to have people looking for an edge. I mean, that's all there is to it. I mean, that's no. Whether it be trash can banging or putting stuff on the ball or taking steroids. I mean, we'd all like to believe that people play by the rules and everybody strictly follows, every rule in the rule book. But the reality is, whenever you have a competition, you're going to have people that are looking to gain an edge in some form or fashion. So, I mean, that's not news. I mean, that's just what happens.
Right. Well, and the good news for you is, I mean, you hit 366 bombs in your career, but nobody with your body, nobody mistook you for a steroid user.
Now, that's sort of a backhanded compliment. But
you've already told us about the face thing. It's not the body thing. You just, Yeah, it's a Matt Stafford face thing. It's not even a fair thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm, in all seriousness, I, there is a, I mean, I'm sure it sounds sanctimonious or, you know, but for me, that was not something that I was willing to do. And I do take a small measure of pride in knowing that every home run that I hit was just because I hit it. It wasn't because I had chemical help or anything like that. Although, you know, the other thing too is these, you got to look at where some of these guys are coming from. And if you have an opportunity, let's say you're a guy that's on the fringe and you know, the difference between hitting 10 home runs a year and hitting 30 home runs a year is $100 million. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that would take the steroids to earn that $100 million and go on down the road. So I don't blame guys that were doing it, and obviously there are various motivations. I think some of the guys that were doing it, especially back in my era, did it to try to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak, and they weren't satisfied with being also Rans in terms of their statistical performance. So they, you know, they wanted to be the best of the best, and that's what fueled their steroid use. So I'm not casting stones. I'm just saying for me that wasn't something that I was willing to do. And, I still think people are doing something. I don't know what it is, but as technology has advanced, I'm sure they've come up with something that is hard to detect.
No, the only cheating going on is trash can banging. That's it. Nobody else is doing anything, Lance. That's what I understand.
I've kind of been out of the loop, John, so I appreciate you letting me know that.
Right. Yeah, no, John, right. Just text him if you need to know what's going
right,
on.
Right, no, if you gotcha. Need... any information, by the way.
Like any information, he's yeah. got you.
By the way, I mean, I just read the headline. I thought it was St. Thomas High School, but...
Yeah, he went deep into it.
I wasn't all that interested to go deep into finding out that it was the university.
John's a headline reader.
Yep, that's what
that's right. Just skims them and moves on. Well, he's got a lot of things that he's responsible for, so you can't blame him for... You know.
Right.
Well, he's got to play golf and poker and...
Right.
Drink.
I mean, that takes up a lot of schedule. A lot of schedule.
A lot of Coors Lights.
He's the first one to call you a booze pig.
Right. Oh, yeah. No.
I mean, Lance is the original.
Yeah. Me and my buddy Chad. Yeah.
Was he wrong? Was he wrong?
No.
Was that inaccurate?
No, it was not inaccurate at all.
Okay.
No. That's the big Puma coach at the University of St. Thomas. And we appreciate it, man. Congrats getting back in there and getting that college job. And we'll be watching some scores. I mean, let's go. Let's win a championship over there.
All right, guys. Thanks. Good to
be
home with y'all. All right.
If they don't
even have a field. Let's win a championship over there.
Well, guess what? If they don't, guess who's going to get the blame?
Right, it's got to be Berkman.
But it will be.
That's the major leaguer. Like, he's got to – I would expect him to make a big difference on a program that doesn't exist and has no field. What is he, like the Joe Clark of private school?
Apparently.
What have I stepped into? There's not even a field here.
Dear
Eastside High.
The University of St. Thomas is like a block long, their campus.
I know.
Yeah.
What are we doing? We don't have a field. Where are we playing our games? The gym? It's wiffle ball.
Wait. All right. So 8:45.
I signed up for a wiffle ball team?
Back to the Texans. And on the other side right here on ESPN, Deshaun Watson. And if you want to get in, 713-780-3776. In the meantime... it's GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com. My man, John Clay Wolf, is doing it right. Nobody does it better. In the history of car buying, nobody does it better. Dude is he's nationwide now, literally in most every single market, well, every major market in the country, buying cars. And they're getting to know him with his radio show. And getting to know John Clay Wolf is interesting. He's an interesting person. I'll put it that way. And he is, it's fun. He's a good, I wouldn't say good, clean fun for the whole family. What he is he's fun, though. And he's also the guy that's going to give you the most for your vehicle. He promises that. And if he can't keep that promise, then he's going to send you $100. So, well, if he can't beat CarMax's offer, he says. And CarMax might be the second biggest car buyer in the country. But here's the deal. If you're looking to sell that car, just go to GiveMeTheVIN.com and make sure that you know who's got the best deal for you. It's going to be GiveMeTheVIN.com. I can almost guarantee it. GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I'm looking at CBS Fantasy Football. This was a pretty damn good rookie year. Had a rookie quarterback finish in the top 12 in fantasy football scoring.
Great rookie wide receiver.
Five in the top 24 at running back.
Well, Herbert was a factor.
Yeah.
He was a fantasy factor.
Yeah. I mean, and you got him. You
picked
probably
him up off waiver wire.
Waiver wire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I added him on my
absolutely.
Team.
Was he starting to start the season?
I had Drew Brees and Carson Wentz. I also finished with my worst record ever. Four and whatever we had. But I picked up Justin Herbert, which is why I was able to play spoiler at the end of the season.
Yeah. Five.
Justin Herbert.
Five in the top 24 at running back and another three in the top 24
at wide receiver. Wait, you said five of the top 24?
Running backs.
Not Zach Moss. Let's see. Running backs. Is DeAndre Swift in there? He can't be in there. Let me think. Who are the running backs? Oh, Jonathan Taylor. Yes. Man, I'm kind of blanking out here.
Yeah.
Oh, no, not Damian Harris. He's already been there. Washington. Oh, Antonio Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
Washington would be one. Not Dallas. Not the Eagles. Not A.J. Dillon. He didn't get in there, did he?
Looking.
Not the Bears. Packers. Not probably not Lions. Not. Did he get in there? Did DeAndre Swift get in there?
Aaron Jones. Jonathan Taylor. James Robinson.
Oh yeah, undrafted free agent.
Uh-huh. Mike Davis, Antonio Gibson, J.D. McKissick, DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, okay,
DeAndre Swift got up there. Miles Sanders, J.K. Dobbins.
Oh yeah, that's right, J.K. Yeah. Dobbins. Of course.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
Yeah. So there were plenty of guys that, and J.K. Dobbins is going to step up. Is going to have a much bigger role. No. Going forward, because they found out when they run the football, they're a better football team, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Who do you give a better chance of getting to the – who do you give the best chance – who would you give a better chance of beating the Chiefs, Ravens or Steelers?
Neither. I mean
– if you had to pick one, who is more – I think it's Ravens.
I think so.
Because they have a chance to make explosive plays. I don't think they can beat. I think there's 0% chance you beat the Chiefs with Ben Roethlisberger as your quarterback.
Now, which defense do you like more?
I think I actually like. They haven't been the same defense since they lost Bud Dupree.
No,
but Alex Highsmith's played better. I'd probably say the Steelers.
Steelers.
Yeah.
Which quarterback do you like more? Certainly throwing the football, Ben.
Lamar.
So throwing the football, you like
giving
Ben.
You a chance to win though is Lamar. Because Lamar can throw the deep ball. He's got Marquise Brown.
Which weapons do you like? Of course, the Steelers can't run the ball at all. Can't run the ball.
No, because everyone knows that, first of all, Ben is so predictable that he wants to get into passing. Like, he'll check out of runs and get to passing.
But their weapons are on the outside are better.
The Steelers?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Juju's kind of been a...
Claypool.
Johnson's got a ton of drops.
Yeah.
They got problems over there. Johnson's got a ton of drops. Juju Smith-Schuster has not been... nearly as effective, and Claypool's been a good player. I don't know that I trust right now the Steelers' weapons to get open. I mean, Deontay Johnson's got a major drop issue, and Juju is having a hard time getting open right now. I mean, Claypool I like. I like Claypool a lot.
Yeah.
But I don't think you're going to win with a rookie wide receiver.
No. Okay. Who do you like better?
Make no mistake, neither of those teams are as good
Green
as the Bills.
Bay, Seattle or New Orleans?
New Orleans. I still go defense. You got to have defense. Seattle doesn't have enough rush. The Saints have some rush. The Saints have a defense. You can't win with the last place pass defense against, or right there, close to last, against Aaron Rodgers. Right now and this year, I just don't think you can win that.
Which is why is this, again, you predicted the Seattle Rams under over right on the head at 42.
Yeah.
How in the hell is that just 42? Goff is going to play.
Well, yeah. Well, the Seattle's offense really hasn't been going great. And I think because Goff is going to play, you're going to see the number go up to maybe 43 and a half.
Well, let's see right now. Rams, it's still at 42.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if that doesn't go up some. Because that's still the truth. I mean, it's win or go home. I think Russell Wilson comes up with a bigger game. And then with Goff back, I think there's going to be – matter of fact, I think 42, I think playing the over makes sense.
It does make sense.
Yeah, just on value alone. You got a bad defense, and it's a win or go home game. You maybe,
yeah, whether or not Russ can, you know, get away from Donald, and whether or not that – you know, and there I think that's going to be a slobber knocker. It might be an under. Because those two teams are going to – they know each other well. This is the third time they're playing. How does it work in a third time that you're playing a team? Is it – you know them so well, it's probably an under game, a low-scoring game.
That sometimes is the thing. That sometimes is the thing. It really is one of the – you can convince yourself and say, well, we know each other well, and we're leaving everything on the table because we know it's win or go home. Like, you can do it either way. I've seen it work out both ways. So, I mean, the number's the number for a reason. And the game is being played in Seattle, right?
The game is in Seattle. So, and when they played the Rams at home this year, it was 20-9. And at the Rams, it was 23-16, both unders.
There's your rationale.
There's the reason it's 42. Man, maybe there it is. And here's the deal. That's lowest under on the board, under over on the board. When it's the lowest under over on the board, you take the under.
It usually is that way.
It is.
For the weekend.
And the highest over, you take the over.
For the weekend, that's tits. Is that that's a Sunday game, isn't it?
It's Saturday.
Oh, no, it is Saturday. That's right. Wild card. 10% rain or 10% rain chance, 45 degrees, 4 miles an hour wind. It's fine.
Perfect.
It's fine.
Perfect. No, but that's probably an under. The biggest under over on the board this weekend is Baltimore and Tennessee. 54.5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those two teams can run. But hey, you know what? That's so funny because, well, they're running teams, so the clock, you would think the clock is going to run. Neither team is great at passing the football, although the Titans do give up the pass quite a bit. And yet that's the biggest under-over, two running teams. And by the way, I'm looking at this. They've got the Ohio State-Alabama game, over-under 75.
Yeah, it stayed there the whole time.
It hasn't moved. It's still there at 75.
Oh, man.
Wow.
I mean, it just so rarely goes at both teams. I shouldn't say so rarely. It did with when Nick Saban played Clemson twice, when Alabama played Clemson twice. Both of those games were back and forth. But a lot of times, it's one team ends up being a lot better than the other team. And if that ends up being the case, it's hard to go over.
Yeah.
In the playoff era, overs are 5-1.
Really? Overs are 5-1.
Yes.
But have we seen it over under 75?
Remember how Super Bowls used to be like that, John?
How many of those games would have been over 75?
Well, I think only one. The Alabama-Clemson game, the first title matchup, which was Alabama won, I think, 45-41, something like that. I don't think any other one has touched 75.
That's a big number to cover. A big, big number. 856 ESPN 97.5 857 now. 713-780-377. You got any thoughts on any of that? We'll get more Texans talk on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.